I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Dear the Black Guy Who Tips podcast listener, with the recent announcement of the cancellation of the NCAA tournament and the postponement / suspension of major sports leagues, I want you to know that we are just as disappointed as you are, but we understand the tough decisions being made. Our podcast will remain open, and I want you to know that the Black Guy Who Tips podcast is navigating the impact of the coronavirus. Our number one priority remains the health and safety of our listeners and our podcast hosts. We are in close contact with local and federal health officials, including the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, to ensure we have immediate and continuous updates as this issue evolves. We are acting swiftly and proactively as counsel and direction is made available to us. While the situation remains fluid, I want to inform you of a few steps that the Black Guy Who Tips podcast has taken. Number one, we've convened an internal coronavirus preparedness task force to constantly monitor the circumstances and stay in contact with health and government officials. Number two, we have reinforced all of our podcasts across the country, our rigorous standard operating procedures focused on podcast cleanliness and sanitation. Number three, we have enacted additional and enhanced cleaning procedures to sanitize all listener contact surface with higher frequencies. Number four, we are also not letting our podcast hosts come in sick. We don't want you to catch anything through your headphones, get computer viruses, anything like that. And number five, we are asking, please don't touch us. Okay? We don't know where your hands been.
Did you wash your hands?
Okay. You could be touching your face. We don't know. We are committed to providing a safe, clean, and welcoming welcoming podcast for guests and team members across the hundreds of communities that we serve. I want to thank you for your continued trust and support of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Rod Morrow, Karen Morrow, president of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
And we are live on a Saturday, a coronavirus Saturday.
Yes.
You get a coronavirus.
Yes. If y'all like me, you forgot how many fucking emails you were following because everybody and their mama sent you an email.
Yeah. Look, if you guys have been out there like we have, I know you're probably going through it. I never forget the look on that old lady's eyes as I choked the life out of her for the last roll of toilet paper in Harris Teeter. But things had to be done that I'll never be able to forget, but at least I survived, you know, to live another day. Okay, to now I will be able to wipe my butt well into perpetuity. Okay, we have enough toilet paper in here to last us until, I mean, I'm talking July, August, you know. So when the Z-Pac hits,
we ready.
Those faces of the murdered will never leave our minds, but at least we'll still be here, right? But yeah, this is our feedback show. It's about everything.
So you're trying to say the shit may hit the fan, but it will, our asses will be clean.
With a bunch of toilet paper. Actually, there was plenty of the toilet paper I used left because it's the expensive kind.
Right?
They went for the cheap ones, you know. You just gotta go to the, if you go look for the aloe vera toilet paper, it's still there, y'all. Don't nobody want that. But yeah, so you guys, it's feedback time. It's time for us to talk about the things that you had to say about the things that we said all throughout the week. The official weapon of the show is unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme, and the official virus is coronavirus. Okay. Until further ado, but yeah, you can find us iTunes, Stitcher. We're gonna read your 5-star reviews, we're gonna read your comments on the Black Guy Who Tips .com. We're gonna talk about your donations to the show, we're gonna play your voicemails for the show. I mean, I don't even know what else we do. I feel like, you know, I feel like that's everything, but maybe I'm missing something.
Email, voicemails, 5-star reviews.
It's just one of those days, y'all, where I'm scatterbrained. I just recorded This Too Much with Bossy.
Yep.
Then we went out shopping. Yeah, we went out shopping, and I, like I said, I had to kill an old lady. She coughed, and I said, We don't need no more of you on the earth.
Duh.
And so now we're back here recording the second podcast a little bit later than normal. But the show must go on, guys. Let's start with the people who gave us money.
I dedicate this song to
recession, depression,
and unemployment.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
This song's for you.
Today's a new day. New day, new panic spending. Rebecca M, thank you for your recurring donation. Shirley Wong Esquire, please say the Esquire.
You better.
Kelly C, Virginia P, Tiffany B, Jane M, Fourth Wall Comics and Games, Alfonso M, Jeff F, Palmetto Stone Magic, Lindsay B, James C, David C, no relation, Damian Jackson, woo, I am for real, Autumn W, Bridget R is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you so much.
Hey, baby.
You could have been spending your money on toilet tissue or pasta, but you chose to spend it with us.
Yes,
and that
you
means
did.
The world to us at the end of the world, okay? Damian R, Nicola C, our girl Dr. Professor Bambi, Kevin W, Kimberly J, aka Falcons Diva, Jason F, Donna N. And that's everybody. Play me out.
Ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and a sun and a thought, and I feel like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, so tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where's the love and the joy and the promise to tell me it's alright?
The truth is,
I almost gave up my power that I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower, and
I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile. Even though I'm hoping, I smile.
Yeah,
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
I smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. Even so much better when you smile.
All right, let's get into these 5-star reviews. We got a few.
Yay.
All right, going from iTunes, we got 4. Y'all are amazing. We absolutely love this podcast. It's from Kay and Warren. We absolutely love this podcast. We got into it fairly recently, but we got hooked on our first listen. Rod and Karen have amazing insights into current events that they cover, and we always are looking forward to their next episode. These two are amazingly hilarious and have incredible chemistry. We love listening to them and strongly recommend their show 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Kay and Warren. Unpretentious politics and funny as heck. I'm a 64-year-old white Michigander. What? A Bernie or Warren supporter. I feel you. Despite the disagreement over supporting Bernie, let me say that these two are smart and very funny. I've been listening a couple times a week on my podcast app, Castro. Castro got they got a podcast app? Oh, you Bernie for real. You fuck with that Castro. You know, you might, probably about to lose Florida over that Castro. You know what I'm saying? Got a little too comfortable when he was in the lead. My podcast app, Castro, for a couple of years. I finally downloaded the Apple Podcast app so I could give some star support to the Blackout Tips. Couldn't figure out how to rate podcasts on Castro. I really like Rod's positivity and his tendency to cut most people slack and not be mean. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's his empathy. We try to have compassion and understanding in the days of we don't have to see eye to eye, but I don't got to kill you or stab you. Them days is over, but we try to be very understanding.
You know, I really appreciate that, because I really try to lean into that. I'm not always able to do it. I mean, come on, y'all. There's some people out here that if you can see it for them, you're just a better person than me. But I really do try to lean into that, because I found myself, especially being on social media a lot, losing that part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people either don't have it or have lost that part of themselves.
Correct.
Or they're at least exacerbating the part of themselves that never, that's always petty, that always takes the lowest road, you know, like, and it's really sad to see how vicious people can get. Mm-hmm. You know, it really did take, you know, a couple personal experiences offline and with, you know, personal experience with people I met online to really have to reflect and look at myself and be like, what am I becoming? Because I don't want to do a show that, you know, calls everybody trash and individually just damns people to hell and stuff when I don't really believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot of people who make mistakes, but I feel like we're now at a point where everyone's mistakes are laid bare for everyone to see. In the advent of social media, we can share everyone's lowest moment and then we hold them there forever, and I don't think that's right.
Nope.
But then also, like, most people have some level of logic to what they're doing, and there's a lot of times when I can understand why they come from where they come from. You know, I'm not necessarily able to do it all the time, but, you know, I just try to lean into it more and just kind of be more understanding. And if that means if that means people feel like I'm a contrarian or I stick out or I'm too soft, I'd rather be too soft than too hard, man. I don't want to be lose that part of myself. And
no,
you know,
I don't want to lose my compassion, because a lot of people have lost just compassion for other people around them. Social media has allowed people to, like we said before, build these bubbles and build these echo chambers and actually don't listen to anybody outside of themselves and their own thoughts. And that's not healthy. People don't grow like that, because you need to be challenged in order to grow. And like Roger said, even if I don't, we might not see eye to eye, if I can understand how you got that to that conclusion, I'm more apt to have some semblance of respect to be like, okay, that's how you got there.
Yeah, and it's been a fine line, because I'm trying to, while also doing that, the other thing I'm leaning into is being more focused on my point of view, how I feel, because that's what this show's about, how we feel about things. And I can't make it so much of considering everybody's point of view that I end up having none of my own. There's some times where I, you know, like about voting, there's people that don't like that I've been very vocal that I think people should vote, that I think, especially if you're black, people really did die for your right to vote and you should use it. And there's gonna be people that, you know, I mean, I can think of some that don't fuck with me now because of that. But I will always be comfortable because I spoke from the heart, I was honest to them, and the same way I would talk to somebody who I thought was about to walk into the middle of the street and get hit by a car is how I'm talking to them. And I had to be comfortable saying, well, this means some people aren't gonna fuck with me anymore, and you know, if they can't handle it, that's fine, they couldn't handle me. And so there's this fine line where I understand where they're coming from, I get their frustration, but I'm like, this is not the solution that I think is right, and us being cool shouldn't have to mean that I can't say that I think you're wrong, you know.
Right.
And so that's a big thing. So I actually appreciate that you said that. You know, and in my mind, it's not that white people don't listen to the show. A lot of white people listen to the show. People that's not our age listen to the show. All kinds of people from all over the fucking world listen to the show. But I'm always, in my mind, feel like I'm mostly speaking to black people when I talk. So, you know, when people write in, they're like, I'm this type of person, I still listen to your show, I'm always kind of like, oh, I'm a little surprised at that. Because it seems like people just don't do that anymore, you
no.
know? I listen to a couple of very Bernie centric podcasts for a couple of years, well, for at least a year leading up to this election, just to be like, well, what could it be that I'm missing, or let me understand this person's mentality. And you know, it really did teach me in a way a lot of empathy for the Bernie supporters that I didn't have before, because up until that point, the only Bernie people I knew had been people that were like attacking me online, harassing me via email,
right,
things of this nature. And when I actually got to hear without interruption, like, their point of view, I was at least able to be like, okay, I can see why his policies and him as a person appeals to you in this way, even if he doesn't appeal to me the same way. And I think, you know, that's something that has gone missing. In our debates, man, like the debates for the Democrats have turned into how much can one person insult another person.
Right.
You know, and that was great when Elizabeth Warren did it to Bloomberg. I think he deserved it, but it also turns into that for good candidates who are actually qualified, but they just have slight disagreements. But all of them are better than what's in the office now, and all of them are better than the policies we have on the books right now. Every last one of them. And yet we have gotten so fucking polarized to a point where we are like, if it's not my person, fuck everybody else.
Right.
I was a Warren person.
Same.
You know what I'm saying? So like for me, I was mad as shit. Like, to be honest, when the results came back, but you know what? I swallowed it that night. I said, okay, she couldn't even get 10%. Time to move on. Like, I'm not gonna sit up here and be mad all day and make all these threads and rant and be on the podcast blaming people they didn't understand. No, that's the way the game goes. It's gonna happen to every candidate except one, and she fought a great fight with a lot of honor, and I respect the fuck out of her, and I hope that I know her political future isn't over, you know. But yeah, so I it taught me something to be on that side of things. Karen lays it all out, and that is cool too. Thanks Eric. P.S. have you guys ever talked about the show Atlanta? If so, which episode have we talked about the show Atlanta?
Yeah, you and Bossy cover it,
right? So we have a spinoff show called This Too Much. You may see it in your feed every once in a while, because what I do is I put the newest episodes of the pod of the show out to the public on our regular feed for about 2 weeks or so, and then I take it and put it on our website behind a paywall. Although our paywall is having issues right now with one of the sign up things. Anyway, and so then people can sign up to become like a premium listener. I think you should go to the blackouttips.com/register now. This will be the easiest way. Sign up and you can choose to become a premium listener. You can pay per month, you can pay per year, however you want to do it. And then on our website, whether there's RSS feeds you can use, you can copy and paste them into your podcast player, or, and they're password protected, or you can listen straight from our website. And if you have any issues, you can email me, theblackouttips@gmail.com. I'll walk you through whatever you need. But so we have reviewed pretty much every episode of Atlanta, I believe, me and Bossy have, on This Too Much. And so we've broken it down. We got deep. Some of those episodes are very long and informative. And we also do This Is Us, and we also do Insecure. So, you know, and honestly, it's just a really good excuse to kick it with my friend Bossy. You know, like, it's fun and we do a great job, but you know, Bossy's so funny and just smart. You know, I think you would enjoy it. 5-star review, funny and informative. This is from Carlucci 44, I believe is how you pronounce this, or Carlucci. I love this pod. So glad my friend put me onto it back in 2016. My go-to, keep me company when I cook, clean, drive long distance, take a bath, can't sleep, or if I'm being honest and procrastinating. Love you too. Thank you, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
From a chronic procrastinator myself. Okay. Subscribe right now, 5-star. Hey Rod and Karen, it's me, Elise, subscribing on my mom's phone. Happy Saturday, heart emoji, Elise mom, lol is the name of the review. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you.
Okay, steal your mama's phones, people, if you listening
come
to
on.
This
you know you left one, your mate, husband, spouse, your kids.
We want these 5-star reviews. We don't
like
care.
Give me your phone, I'll use your account.
You see an unattended phone, it's time to steal that and get us on there. Okay?
Come on, leave all the stars.
Let's see, 5-star review on Stitcher. We got one from Miss Martikins. 5 stars, nuance appreciation, it says. Great podcast that employs empathy and nuance throughout the daily topics, as well as premium reading suggestions. I love the way Rod and Karen, it just kind of trails off there. Side note, this is my 3rd 5-star attempt here. Did it successfully once. Second time, I didn't know why it didn't work. I confirmed the email and everything. Anyway, let me check out a spoiler movie review. Thank you, Miss Martikins.
Thank you.
And we appreciate the 5-star review, okay? It don't matter if it took you a while. We got it this time. Loud and clear. All right, let's get into our episodes on the blackguywhotips.com. We had comments under different ones. The feedback show was Return of Uncle Joe, episode 2058. And we got three comments. Let's check them out, guys. First of all, Catrice206 says, Rod, your commentary on the election was magnifique. I had a conversation with my grandmother about the election a couple weeks ago. She's in her mid-70s and lives in Mississippi. She gave quick opinions on each Democratic candidate. I believe Warren or Harris was her favorite, but admitted that she was going to vote for whomever the final nominee was. Her thoughts on Biden almost took me out. She said, he should really be ashamed. Ain't no way in the world I would spend so many years under Obama and still be so dumb. Thanks for everything. Love you all. Yeah, that's the one thing I keep seeing kind of reported in the news that's so not true. And just indicative of not knowing black people. But this thing where they go, black people love Biden. They just associate him with Obama so much. They love Obama. So they don't know none of his policies. They just putting Biden in office. Like, no, man, they're not stupid. It's unfortunately for a lot of people that are Bernie supporters, they don't trust Bernie. They don't know him. He hasn't done that work in the community. Like, you can't just rely on, like, 55 years ago you marched with King, even though you're not necessarily a leader within that movement. You can't rely on that. And unfortunately for him too, like, the Martin Luther King movement wasn't small. Like, it still holds the record for the most people ever to attend a live event in DC, you know? Like, so being involved in that movement and getting arrested isn't the Trump card that people think it is. Mm-mm. For black people. Like, it's not like, well, damn, well, we nothing left to say here, right? So unfortunately, man, there's a lot of people that don't think Biden's necessarily a great candidate. They don't necessarily love his demeanor or whatever, you know. He has good charisma. His policies are more left than Obama's policy, if you go look on his website. But they just think he can beat Trump, you know. And the reason they think he can beat Trump is because he'll unify the party, because he's actually a member of the party. That's, you know, it's really that simple. And, you know, people talked around it and try to turn it into black people love Biden and shit, and it's just not that. Mm-hmm. We're not stupid either. Mm-hmm. Farr says, man, this commentary was everything. As a person who's from the South and still lives there, this is what I've been saying. Something else on Bernie. It's a hard sell to tell us Bernie has always been there for black folks for two main reasons I see. The first is church. There's no way you can tell me anyone has been involved in civil rights over decades without a relationship with the black church. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you see what Joe Biden be down there in the South at them churches doing.
Come on.
You know, it has always been the epicenter of organizing our communities in the South. Even now with Reverend Barber's work, you can't tell me you're a civil rights champion with no connection to our churches. It's just inconceivable. The other reason is this: y'all only a few years older than me, so I'm pretty sure y'all, like me, black boomers are your parents, aunts and uncles. While they're getting older, a lot of them are still with us. So if I want to check Bernie's civil rights cred, I can ask my mama or my aunties or uncles. The fact that they don't know that nigga, but they know Biden, is telling.
Right.
They've been to fundraisers and commemorations and services and been in the game, been in the same building as Biden. Bernie, nada. You can't sell Southern black voters the whole ass epicenter of the civil rights movement. No flex about who has engaged with them and who hasn't. Yeah, I mean, like I said, dog, they don't feel like they know him enough to trust him, and he hasn't done enough to engender that trust. And if we're being fair, like, I don't know that he could have in 4 years, because people are like, well, but it doesn't help that he didn't try, you know. And building those inroads with black people in the South is difficult, but it would have helped him a lot more than what he did, you know. And I think another thing that just doesn't translate for him is Nina Turner, Killer Mike, Cornel West, and a couple other of his black surrogates aren't actually really people that connect to black people in a way that influences black people on how to act. They're black people. I'm not knocking that, but they're like black people that don't like Obama, and that's not a lot of people in the black community. That's a very small percentage of people. And so to have these people front and center for your come vote for me black Democrats thing is almost suicide. Let's see, we got one more. Sofa King says, I appreciate what you and Karen had to say about why Joe Biden pretty much dominated the South and how considered. Oh, and you know what, it's been another week. he's not winning the black vote anywhere. And I went and looked this shit up because another thing I don't like, and this is more of an intra-community problem, but black people not from the South trying to look down on Super Tuesday, like, look at you blacks down there. I can't believe y'all riding for Biden and saying real condescending shit like that, right? So I said, you know what? This is a black thing. I don't think it's just a South thing.
Right.
The South is just where we have enough concentration of black people to be the reason you lose. But black people all over the fucking country are going to have to make this choice between these candidates. And so I went and looked it up. He lost it in California. He lost it in Missouri.
Michigan.
He lost it in Michigan. Like, and then the states that everybody was like, the North, go look those states up, y'all. They don't have enough black people in those states to even put on the fucking the exit polls as black vote, and how did it split? So when you tell me he won Maine, I hope no black person is patting themselves on the back like, we did it good in Maine. Your vote literally is not enough up there, you know. So he lost Maine, by the way. So even this idea that it's black people's quote unquote fault that Biden's winning, well, what about the states like Maine where Biden didn't even put money on the ground to campaign at all, and he still beat Bernie Sanders, and it was on the back of the white vote, many of them white working class voters? Yet somehow the blame always has to go to the black people in the South for him specifically, for some reason. Like, nah, man, black people everywhere aren't really backing you, and you don't really seem to want to get too close to us
or care. And people act like, when people go, hey, I don't think he would want to fuck with us, y'all act like it's all in your mind and want to Jedi fucking mind trick us. No, we're not stupid. He don't fuck with us.
Yeah, someone asked him about specifically the black vote and his issues getting black voters to fuck with him, and he said he switched it to people of color and was like, well, the Latino community. And it's like, what, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is the problem. It's like you're scared to be close to us and have our problems because you know that there's a resentment within the white working class, your base, the angry white worker class, who resents black people. And if you start talking that shit about, like, well, actually black people have it even worse than, it's not just an economic situation, it's a race situation too, and black people have it even worse, you know that you're gonna start, your numbers gonna start looking like Elizabeth Warren's. You know, even white people that are mad at billionaires don't really want to be chilling with niggas.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to be on that same level. They want to still have their white supremacists above, like, their position above black people on that pyramid,
even though that's not the reality a lot of times.
I mean
the reality is we all on the same fucking boat, but they
we really not.
And the thing is, when I mean we all on the boat, there's poor black people just like there's poor white people. Mm-hmm. With white working class and black working class. Yes, you are gonna have white people with supremacy. Yes, you are gonna have white people that's a little bit better economically than we are, but as far as the other side, they look at us all the same. There's no separation in their minds.
That's true, but I just want to push back on this, Karen. It's not a little bit. The median black wealth is much, much smaller than even, like, what is poor for a white person isn't even close to what's poor for a black person, simply because the whiteness has been built on the fact of robbing blackness of his wealth. So even poor white people have, like, social connections, family, savings, property, things that black people haven't even been allowed to have in general, right? So, like, say in Boston, the average wealth of a black family is literally $6. Like, if you just start subtracting all their, you know, add their assets up, subtract their debts, $6. So, like, white people have it better than us, and that is a problem for someone like Bernie, who wants to preach economic equality and, you know, this like idea of fairness, when you go, you're right, it's not fair. And he's like, I agree with you, but it's also even more unfair for certain groups of people, right? Black women, LGBTQ people, black people, brown people, right? When you start bringing it up like that, all of a sudden that's when he goes to just, it's the economy, it's all, everyone doing bad, you know, we just need to get everyone on the same page. If we get jobs, it'll fix everything. And that's that's been what now, 5 years that we've been hearing this?
Yeah.
And that's why black people not fucking with him, because it's like Elizabeth Warren took the same basic principle, but she would, if you listen to her debates, she would throw in there like, and black women make 64 cents on the dollar, so that 83 cent, that's white women, so we have to do something extra for black women in this situation. And LGBTQ people, they, you know, they're dealing with this certain type of oppression, so in this policy we have to do this. HBCUs and student loans and debt, we have to change that specifically for black students and people who go attend those universities. Bernie, so he refuses to do that, you know, and I think that's costing the black vote just as much as anything else.
And I agree with that. And I think for me, the one thing about when we talk about the economy, economics, and people in certain situations, it does not erase racism. And so when you say that, you're actually telling us you don't give a fuck, because racism actually matters. Mm-hmm. Race matters. And so, you know, when you run away from that, you're telling us that you're going to leave us behind. We're not stupid and we're not dumb, because we're actually part of the economy too. But we also know how these rules are implemented. We also understand that white people benefit from all this shit, even though they're not, they're going to be affected by the same fucked up rules that they allow to come on us. They're going to be affected too. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say we're on the same boat. I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, let me just stop right there. I'm not saying we're not on the same boat. It's like, we're on the same boat, but they drown last. And they're happy. They'll be happy to drown last, is my point.
Right.
And so I just want to say that distinction is why, because people always go, it don't make sense, they're against their own interests. No, that distinction is why they're okay with,
right,
people being poor. They're against socialism. They're against welfare programs. They vote for people that cut the programs they love or need to live. They cut those things, and they vote for the people who talk about cutting those things only because they go, well, yeah, with my white privilege, I'll be the last one to drown. And that's just better. Even if I'm a poor white person, I'm not trading places with these blacks.
Oh, they never would.
Yeah. Sorry to get caught off on that tangent, Karen. Yeah, so back to this. One of the things you mentioned particularly caught my attention was how the wokey wokes who want to change the Democratic Party from the outside the party will often cite that the DNC hasn't done enough for black people. And I love your rebuttal. Show me the progress that's happened under Republicans then. Yeah. There's a logical fallacy that they don't want to entertain, because it is a very emotional thing. And when you bring this stuff up, they basically go, so the lesser of two evils? And I'm like, isn't everyone for less evil? Who's for more evil?
Right.
When has more evil helped you? It just puts you in a worse position. You know, it's like if you're playing a basketball game and you're like, hey, would you rather be down 5 or would you rather be down 20? You know, like there is a difference strategically to what's going to help us win. It's like, well, if we can't come in and win the game right away, then why play? It's like that's not how basketball works.
That's not, you get that. Ain't you ever heard of a fucking upset? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, the game will continue to be played whether you participate in it or not.
Right, at least participate. Shit, right. You might get an overtime.
Right, you might win. It reminds me of a tired talking point that frequently gets brought up online in almost equal measure by the wokey wokes and the deplorables. Every now and again, you'll see one of the groups post a link about struggling cities with Democratic leadership. Look at the crime in Baltimore. Look at the crime in D.C. You know, Flint has a Democratic mayor, and so on and so forth. They'll just drop the list on the table and lean back all smug like they just laid down the big joker. And it's like, okay, congratulations. You managed to provide a list of Democratic-controlled cities where shit is bad for black people. Now, where's the list of all the Republican-controlled cities where shit is good for black people?
Right.
Oh, you mean it ain't such a list because those cities don't exist? Oh, all right, I see you there, player. Right. The other thing that I wanted to co-sign was about black people supporting. Oh, wait, and the other thing I would say too, no one's saying you get a Democratic leader, work's done, let's go home. It's you get a Democratic leader and you stay on their ass.
Right.
No one's trying to stop. Like, I keep seeing this. Y'all don't want us to be critical. No, be critical. Understand that your criticism you can still have unfounded criticism. You can still have unrealistic criticism. Not all criticism is valid.
Mm-mm.
And that's what they think. I should be able to say any fucking thing, and if you say anything back, you're essentially just, you know, you're in the Democratic plantation, you love the Obamas or whatever. It's like, no, I can be reasonable about this. understand your critique and be like, this is, you know, this is how I see what you're saying. They don't want any fucking retort to it, and if you do, you get labeled something, right? So it's kind of that issue. The other thing I wanted to co-sign was about black people's support for the Obamas and how the hatred that you see online doesn't translate to meat space. M-E-A-T space, that's like real people space. Hadn't heard that one. I work at my family's gift shop where our customer base is like 90% black, and one of the top sellers we have is a line of Michelle Obama handbags. They're prominently displayed behind the counter.
That sounds nice.
So that everybody can see them where they come in, when they come in the store. I have never, not even once, had somebody come in to see those bags and then react and discuss like, ugh, so y'all support the deporter in chief, huh? That shit doesn't happen in real life, man. I don't know what kind of shit the wokey wokes online be on, but it don't be like that around here. Yeah, man, like I said, man, that,
and even in real life, a lot of them don't have that same fucking energy because they got family and friends and loved ones that have these opinions.
That result Tuesday, the last two Tuesdays, to be honest,
last two,
really exposes to you how much people that claim to talk for black people don't talk to black people and aren't really talking for us, you know. And that's one thing with this show, I've always spoken for myself, but I feel like me and Karen, we in the nexus of blackness, we in a hub of blackness. We might not see everything, we might not hang out with everybody, but we definitely speak like regular black people, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I think it's why, you know, we're not always on here trying to like chase these internet, you know, contrarian opinions of like, this is why Obama was the worst and, you know, shit like that. You know, those people that get off on that, they love that attention. They love, but they're not speaking for us. They're speaking for a small contingent of niggas that talk like that. And no, and you, if you look at their online, that's all they hang out with. If you look at like their podcast, that's all they click up with. Like they are the, you know, the Cornel West, Tavis Smiley kind of contingent. But then they get super surprised or angry and disappointed after a Tuesday like we experienced.
They have meltdowns on.
Yeah, because they've been pitching to everybody that'll listen. I'm speaking for black people. Black people think like me. And it's like, some, but not enough. And you're not really being convincing with your condescending bullshit. You know, you talking down on how fucked up black people are because they don't think like you isn't necessarily what's going to convince everybody. Oh, well, you know what? Now fuck the Obamas. You got to meet people where they are. And black people love the fucking Obamas. And more importantly, they were an excellent first family, and he's still the best fucking president of any of your lifetimes, period. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Like this shit where people go, well, he wasn't perfect, right? That's the assumption, is that there's that I can then go, he wasn't the best. Even the people that hate him get real quiet if when I'm like, so then is he not the best president you've ever experienced? Well, I mean, well, then they move it. The office of president is just messed up for, okay. So then, assuming we all know that, don't you know that we're all grading it on that presidential curve? We're all grading it on the same criteria, which is, was he a good president or not? He was better than the others vis-a-vis, that means he was a good president to most people. That's how most people will view that. Anyway, the poll was, who can do more push-ups? Trump, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren.
84% picked Elizabeth Warren. 3% said Bernie Sanders. 11% said Joe Biden, and Trump got 1%. Now, I'm assuming Bernie fell in the poll because of the heart attack. Because, I mean, his jumper is wet from mid-range, or it used to be, but, you know, having a heart attack a few months ago probably make people a little nervous. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, Elizabeth Warren was my girl. I can't understand how Mayor Pete was coming in before her in the early primaries. Also, I say this very respectfully because I like y'all. What northern niggas hurt you? Like long NYer, lifelong New Yorker, and I never heard any black people call southern black stupid or dumb. We might call somebody country, but that does not mean dumb. It means kind of homely, someone hitting you with that grandma wisdom. Only insults I heard were of white southerners, hicks and rednecks. Don't mind me, I'm in my feelings. Yeah, I was about to say, because I don't want to be mean to you, but you can't invalidate our experience with northern people. One, many New Yorkers that have come down here in my lifetime, just on an anecdotal level,
right,
have been so fucking like disrespectful and rude and talk bad about us down here.
Even family members that I came down here, and you'd be like, the fuck is wrong with you, nigga?
Yeah, so
you
it's not
act like, you know.
Yeah, so I don't, like I said, I'm trying not to get upset about it, but it's not something we made up. Like, let's not gaslight us like that, okay? You know, the second thing, because and like I said, it's a white supremacy thing. I'm not even saying like these black New Yorkers, I fucking hate them. I'm saying they have bought into this idea that the Southern bumpkin shit. We read about it in I read about it in the Great Migration book. You know that, like, this is like, this is the warmth of other suns. Like, this is something that is historical and therefore is founded, like, and that, it didn't just go away one day. You know, rap used to be like that. Andre 3000 has that famous speech from the Source Awards where he talks about like how people were shitting on the South.
Come
but
on.
The South got something to say. These are moments down here that mean something to us culturally.
Right.
They're moments down here that don't come from nowhere. They come from, you know, that conflict that we've experienced, you know, that that rift within the black culture that we've experienced. And so that's where that comes from. It's not something they've only kept to just white people from down here. Like, and then more importantly, like I said, when it comes to this voting, depending on who you're around, maybe you don't notice it, but when it comes to the voting conversation, oh, you don't have to go far to find people that aren't from down here talking about how quote unquote conservative, uninformed, misinformed black people are for voting for Hillary Clinton, voting for Joe Biden, all that stuff. So you know, these are not things that have recently just popped up. They've been this way my whole life. And especially when you think about the fact that they will laud us for our power when we decided to pick Obama. Right? Everyone got on board. They said, yo, I love this, okay, cool. But then when we pick Biden or Hillary, then all of a sudden we become the dummies, the conservative, the we doing this for the church and all this other shit. And it's like that's not necessarily true. You know what I mean?
Right. And also, because we down South, there is a difference between calling somebody country and be like, oh, y'all just country, and calling somebody country as an insult.
Right.
And a lot of times when it's used by people up north, it is not an enduring thing.
Right.
It's like them country ass niggas down there, they don't know no better. That's how it used, and that's how it almost sounds like a slur.
Right.
And because people up there don't really think about it like that, and y'all just think people are just oblivious to words and language, like the shit don't mean nothing. It means something.
And considering that most of the people that are black up north, their roots come back down here. So, you know, in a way it also feels like a betrayal. Like, dog, you're not actually from where you're from. If you go back far enough, you from here. You know what I mean? So then to get up there, let these white people talk nasty around about the certain type of black people, but you cool, you know, and buy into that shit. Now, I will say this though, I've seen a lot of erosion of this once the internet kind of made us be able to connect better as black people. I think this was worse in when I was coming up. You know, I think that like sending your kid from New York down to the South to learn about their roots, and then they end up, you know, getting in fights and shit and talking about, I'm from New York and shit.
Yeah,
that used to be like a trope that was so common. I mean, pretty much every black person listening to this just thought of somebody when I said that.
Right. And it used to happen, like, right, say frequently. And a lot of times, you know, niggas from up north will come down here and be like, I'm from New York. Niggas be like, yeah. It's gangsters down here too, dog. They might talk with a twang, but it's gangsters down here too. And so, you know, a gangster is a gangster no matter what language or part of the country you from.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people have they have certain privileges and shit they don't see when they think of this process, you know? Like, they just don't see like that they're calling us misinformed is actually an insult.
Right.
You know, they don't see it that way. They think it's out of pity, like, oh, you're just misinformed. It's like, no, wait till your city gets the vote. Let's see what your percentage look like. I got a feeling your black people not feeling this Bernie dude as much as y'all think. Anyway, don't mind me, I'm in my feelings. Coronavirus prep at my job got me on edge. Sorry you couldn't make it to New York, and if Karen talked to me on the train, I hold a conversation because I have a stranger come talk to me face. You seem like a nice New Yorker. So. one of the good ones, as they say.
You are one of the good ones, baby.
Nah, but yeah, like I said, man, it's a lot of history to that, and it's not just we don't have, that's the thing. I actually don't have a gripe with niggas from up north.
I don't either.
But if I catch you talking shit about us, I'm not gonna sit up here and just be like, oh, it's cool. It's not cool. And I know, and the reason I say it's not cool is because I know it comes from a place of indoctrination and white supremacy, and people just don't think about it. Mm-mm. You know, that's it. It's not that they, you know, woke up that morning and was like, I hate niggers. Like, no, you black, you love black people, but yet somehow, you know, we gotta be the dummies and all that shit, you know? It just sucks. Episode 2059, welcome to Checkers, what you want? Eve says, I have only seen Checkers and Rallies in the deepest of hoods, so I know their food has to be flames.
Oh, it is.
So,
I said, oh, it is. I wouldn't go there now, but yes.
Some places the food is so good that they're in a bad part of town, but you're willing to risk it all. Last time I was in California, we were driving through and saw a bunch of white people lined up in a little hole in the wall burger and chicken place. So I was like, the only time you see white people in the hood like this is to buy drugs, so that food must be the shit.
Come on.
It was. The food was so bomb, we went back twice, but the third time some guy got stomped out in the street and got up and headed to this car to get his gun. Yep. That's Checkers for you.
Mm-hmm. People, yeah, in places like Checkers and Rallies, they don't do the Uber Eats and all that shit. They're like, no, you got to come get your food yourself.
People scurry like cockroaches. We did not go back after that. Good food will make you disregard your safety.
It will!
Yeah, and I honestly don't know if they don't do Uber Eats or whatever, because we have had.
I'm joking, but that's my assumption, because you know it's like the crack house. You know, crack house don't, you know, drug dealers don't do a delivery like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean that would be. I mean, but you can say the same thing about Popeyes. I think that would be the move. You can get some Uber Eats out of Checkers. That would be smart.
Come on, if they did do that and you find it, please do it.
Has the Democratic establishment rigged it against Bernie again, was the poll. Yes or no?
It's not rigged against Bernie, no.
Okay. Well, 88% of the audience agrees, you 12% disagree. Rebecca says, in my defense of the yes vote, okay, I appreciate you. You know, Rebecca, we don't get enough of that. People do that vote where they clearly losing in the poll, nobody agrees with them,
and then they don't explain.
She says, when Iowa went afoul to me, it looked like the DNC shot their sacred cow by fumbling the caucus so hard. They released partial results that pushed the narrative that Buttigieg was in the lead from third down playing Bernie's lead in Iowa, not to mention implementing an untested app to the process. Not that Iowa should hold that kind of sway in the first place, but here we are.
Now that I agree. I don't know what the hell was happening up there. It was a fucking shit show.
Yeah, only problem I have with that is I don't think incompetence is the same thing as a conspiracy. And ultimately, Bernie ended up winning. I just think that caucus is stupid and that app was stupid. And that supposedly they did all that stuff because of 2016, and Bernie's people complained about certain shit, so they was like, we'll do it digitally and all this shit. And no, you didn't have the capability for that. You know, these were the rules. Like a lot of these places switch. What's ironic is a lot of these states switch rules because of how Bernie and his people complained.
Yeah, they switched rules because
and it hurt Bernie this time. It really hurt him. It's such a, who knows. I personally do not feel the burn. I too would have preferred Warren as the pick, but then I'm also tired of the only having a choice between two parties. Thanks for the great episode once again, you two.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel you, Rebecca. The problem is that third party ain't gonna have them numbers. A third party could work in America, and maybe even more than three, but it would need to be doing work on the ground all the time. It seems like right now the third parties and the independents in America like to play spoiler and rather than actually run with the intention of, hey, we're gonna build a party up. It's gonna take 20-30 years,
right?
But by the time we get to that 30th year, we'll have enough people that support us that just haven't had their issues met. Now here's the other thing though that I think people haven't considered about needing more than one party. That doesn't mean that that third party will somehow be an amalgamation of the issues you love.
Mm-mm.
everyone has this feeling of like the people who either aren't voting or the people who are dissatisfied with one of the other two parties all have the same agreements on their policies, and they don't.
Nope.
So, you know, let's say your issue is you prefer higher taxes on the wealthy, and you want certain social safety nets to be firmed up, right? Let's say that's your issue. Well, then more than likely you're going to end up voting Democrat because they're the only ones willing to do that. But let's say there was a third party and they were just trying to find everybody that agreed with that. The odds of them winning is low, because then that can't be the only thing you run on. So what's your foreign policy? What's your stance on abortion? What's your stance? You see what I'm saying? That's why libertarian doesn't work. You can get a small number, but people don't all agree with that shit. So this is a weird numbers game, but I mean, it could happen. It just would take a lot of time, and it doesn't seem like
nobody wants to do the work. They want to show up every 4 years.
Yeah, people have put the idea of a black party, like a party specifically dedicated to the black vote. Yeah. One, we're only 13% of the population,
and we don't agree on everything.
And then two, we don't agree on everything. So like, that's the hard part to consider. The Brooklyn Shoebase says Democratic establishment is too busy trying to be on the right side of history to be that devious. Yeah, I just think they're not as coordinated as it would take to be good at a conspiracy like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, but I think also Bernie preaches this, like, the establishment of both parties, and anything that happens that doesn't help me is the establishment. So his people really do grab towards anything that is inconvenient to Bernie is the establishment trying to stop him, as opposed to, you know, it's possible people just didn't want to vote for him, you know. Anyway, let's get to the 2060 Olive Garden CSI. Catrice 206 says, I graduated from high school in 2000. Around that time, girls were starting to get their prom dresses handmade. At that time, it was a bit shocking when a lot of them showed up with cutouts and two-piece dresses, because those weren't the traditional and store-bought styles. I didn't find any of those things to be inappropriate, but after 2000, there was a culture that formed around bashing the handmade dresses, especially the more revealing ones. It was usually perceived as girls trying to be fast or grown, and add that to the stereotypes and fears of prom night itself, where it's assumed that kids will try to, or that night is supposed to end with sex. So then the girls with the traditional dresses are deemed innocent and pure. To me, it was just rebellion and a celebration of overdue freedom. Yeah, I feel you. You know, the other thing too is, I'm sure there are some dresses I would see that I'd be like, okay, yeah, I do agree that that's too much. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I mean,
a lot of times the news articles and shit that we see, I'm always like, that's just a girl with a different type of body in the same dress as another girl.
That's all. That's all. Ain't nobody coming in with the areolas popping out. What are we talking about here, people?
Yeah. EVE says Ralph Northam moonwalked so all Virginians could be free. Mm-hmm. The poll: which do you prefer, Red Lobster or Olive Garden?
Red Lobster.
Well, this is a black podcast, because 69% of y'all agree with Karen.
Them biscuits.
69% say Red Lobster. 31% say Olive Garden. We got comments. Cloud2K says Red Lobster all day. The Cajun chicken linguine hits just right. Kim says Principal Pendleton doing a lot. I remember when I was 9 years old and wore this top to school. It was kind of crop, but not form fitting. I also had a jean jacket on with it. My teacher told me not to wear it again. I had one just like it with a different color. You know, she made me wear it to school the next day. I dropped some Fritos on the floor in third grade accidentally. Teacher told me not to bring them for snack again. That was my snack the next day. My mama said she bought my food and clothes, and that was the only person who ever had any say. I don't remember that either one of them said anything to me either. Shout out to mamas. Rebecca says,
well, like, is you gonna buy clothes?
Rebecca says, no, none of the above option. Both are nasty and not nearly as good as my home cooking. We have one Olive Garden in my area. Good luck getting a table. There isn't a Red Lobster restaurant in this state. Why would I go to Red Lobster when they come to Maine to get the lobsters? My answer still stands, none of the above. Oh, Rebecca, you just being rebellious today. What is going on, Rebecca? Feeling spicy.
She's like, I'm gonna run it all down.
Right. Man, she must think my pose is the establishment. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, Red Lobster is fine dining. My daughter and I go once a year for their birthdays. Olive Garden is bland. I like their breadsticks. Amon says, wait, Red Lobster is considered fine dining? Well, that's what Brooklyn Shoe Babe says. It's one of the few middle class eateries that are still making it. Red Lobster over Olive Garden, but only if you're 2 to 3 hours away from the coast. No landlocked Red Lobsters for me. Well, I will say Red Lobster is fine dining in the black community. I know that much. We go up for Red Lobster.
You let some of them older black folks tell you, honey, Red Lobster, they was like, yes, y'all better put on y'all best.
Even Beyonce said, when he fucked me good, I take his ass to Red Lobster. Like,
if it ain't too good for my Lord and Savior Beyonce, it ain't too good for me.
Right. She a billionaire and she do that. So that means it's fine dining. Okay. 2061 vintage white woman. D Ramsey says, 5 stars, listening now at work. My new favorite segment, Black Capitalist, and Karen's facial expression send me to a place of glory. Yeah, a lot of people like that segment. The poll is, are you still going out to eat? Because this is, I think, the episode where I was like, I don't know if I'm going out to eat no more. Yes, no need to panic. No, I'm panicking. Or, I wasn't going out to eat before Rona hit. Karen?
Well, we had me going out to eat, so the answer is no for us.
No, I'm panicking. 21%. I'm in that group.
Yes, he's in that group.
I may have been on the internet too long. I don't know, guys. I'm scared.
And he's cooking, so as long as you cooking, I'm fine.
Yes, no need to panic. 48% still going out, which, I mean, totally rational, totally reasonable. I read something today about the idea of going out to eat with that Rona on us, and it doesn't sound like it's a bad idea, but every time I look at these other countries, which is where they say we're heading, I'm like, they're not eating. Now, Italy or Spain today was like, yo.
No restaurants, no movie theaters.
Yeah, no, that, I think they said no, like, things that aren't, like, completely, like, things they need for the public. So, like, supermarkets,
they said grocery stores and pharmacies,
medical facilities,
yeah, emergency.
That's the only thing they haven't opened right now. Like, this shit is for real. So yeah, I'm scared, man. I can't help it, y'all.
Me and Ross talking about this today. They're actually protecting people from their own stupidity, because truth be told, a lot of people didn't take it seriously to the NBA shutdown, and a lot of people are still not taking it seriously. And you do have people, they may be overreacting, but at least a lot of them are playing the steady asses at home.
Yeah, I'm not trying to give into like just straight up panic culture, because I think that wouldn't help. But but like, you know, I was a little surprised to see people being like, yeah, I'm going out dancing tonight or whatever. I'm like, okay, so I guess I'm the only one watching this news. It don't sound like a good idea. I'm reading up on it and seeing like what kind of you know, the Atlantic wrote a piece about like what kind of what does or how to self-isolate, or not self-isolate, whatever they call it, where you kind of like, everyone needs to slow down their interaction and stuff. And so I read up on that shit and was like, yeah, I mean, I'm doing some of this stuff, and a lot of it was kind of at your discretion. Like, you can still have small meetups at your house as long as nobody has symptoms, you know, that makes sense. You know, some people were like, you can go to a sports bar, but everyone needs to be about 6 to 10 feet apart. And I'm like, well, you know, okay, so I can get that.
Like, another person, do you know how sports bars are designed?
Well, it really depends, right? You can find a way to be 6 to 10 feet apart from a sports bar at this point, because no one's going out to eat.
That's true, but too. Yeah, that's true.
They were like, if you go to a club and everybody's on each other's back, that's terrible, you know? So, yeah, it really just depends, man. Anyway, did I get the percentages?
I don't think you did.
48% say no need to panic. 21% say no, I'm panicking. And 31% say I wasn't going out to eat before Rona hit. EVE says, I bet if you do go to a restaurant, the servers will be fired because they want your business. Yeah, but you love Arby's. So, yeah. You know, like, are we really going to take your word for it? You think Arby's is fire. So, and I'm sure they have great services. They never have customers, you know.
They like business as normal, huh?
Yep. 2062, Cupcake and Eugene. This is our Walking Dead recap. Mm-hmm. Cap, cap, cap. EVE says, it's time for a calling. And the top of my list is Rosita. Well, I know you do love when they kill beloved characters. Now that she's lost one of the brother's husbands, she's toying with Eugene. Only when he has appeared to move on, she can join Henry in hell, and I won't bat an eye. Henry went to heaven, first of all, so you need to. But yeah, I feel you on Rosita. Plus, I think that actress must be, I think she might be leaving the show too.
She might be.
I feel like there's, I heard that somewhere.
Okay,
I don't know,
they getting other roles and stuff. Yeah,
like, did I just make that up? My bad if I did. But I thought she was leaving the show.
I think I heard that too.
Yeah. The poll is, Negan really on board with Alpha? Yes, he's gone full whisper, or no, he's just biding his time.
Somebody said she's doing a Selena TV show.
There you go. Yeah, so she gone. Yes, he's gone full whisper, or no, he's just biding his time. Karen,
biding his time.
96% agree with Karen. 4% say he's gone full whisper. Amon says, I really hope he's just biding his time, but it would not surprise me if he actually is all in. Gamma said, Alpha has a way about her. I mean, the way about that pussy. You saw she was throwing it on him, man. Mm-hmm. Might, the boy might be gone. The nose wide open. All right, we got a couple of voicemails. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. Just make it 2 minutes or less.
Hopefully, we didn't get no butts. You know, butts like to call us.
Yeah. Well, I checked these voicemails before we started today, so we shouldn't have gotten any butts this time. But yeah, 704-557-0186.
Karen, good morning. It's your lady, Katanya, aka the Thick Ballerina. Just stopping by to say hey, and to say that I love, or to say, and to, I guess, piggyback with someone said, really love your recaps of The Walking Dead and This Is Us. I do not watch The Walking Dead. Ooh, tired. But I really love your recaps, and I feel like I'm there. You guys are great storytellers. I've gotten back into watching This Is Us because of your recaps with Bossy, and every time I see Kevin on the screen, I think of what you guys said about him wasting his white man potential. It brings a laugh every time. Also, just one thing, one suggestion. If you don't have it yet, Rod, for White People News, Katy Perry having a baby with Orlando Bloom. I saw that, and I'm like, hey, let me suggest that in case Rod doesn't have that in his list for White People News. Love you guys so much. Hope you're having a great day, and talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. See she got pregnant, man.
I didn't know.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot to save it for my White People News. I'll put it on the next one, man. She was like, it was like a whole story on how much stuff she had to do to hide the baby bump from the public for a while. But then she did a new video and she like unveiled it, you know what I'm saying? Like a I don't know, like an unveiling of her belly. So, well, all right, one more voicemail.
Hey y'all, it's Toy. This is my first time leaving a voicemail. Whoop, whoop. So I'm calling because I was dying when y'all were talking about how fucking ratchet the damn Checkers is. So, I live in Greater Atlanta now. This one time I was in Stone Mountain, which is in DeKalb County. I was on my way to my aunt's house, and I was starving because she was like, oh, I'm not cooking this Sunday. So I was like, all right, fuck it. We'll, like, you know, just get something nearby. The light right before it meant was the Checkers. Me and my sister were like, all right, Dad, we just want to get some Checkers real quick. They got good cheese fries. We pull in there, we go to the drive-thru, literally, and I quote, the guy says, hey, Schultz, we ain't taking no orders today. I'm like, excuse me? Schultz, we ain't taking no orders today. I was like, okay, can I just speak with the manager? I'm just really confused. The manager comes on, and this bitch says, we said we ain't taking no orders. Like, what the fuck? Mind you, this is a Sunday. I don't know if they get, like, their new truck for their food on Monday or what, but, like, it was literally a Sunday at, like, 3 o'clock. What do you mean y'all not taking no orders? First and last experience getting any food at Checkers anywhere in the east side of Atlanta, period.
Yeah.
Hey, that sound about right. We ain't taking no orders. Yes, orders.
I love to say that I don't believe that about a Checkers establishment, but mm-hmm. I mean
the truck didn't come in, it was like, we about to close.
I've been there a few times where I don't know if they ran out of food or if they closed early, but they just didn't answer. I've been there before where they did that, where I'm just like, okay, I'm waiting at the drive-thru, and they don't never say shit. And just drive by the window and try to look in and be like, is anybody even fucking in there? And they be in there like, yeah, nigga, we not taking orders. So at least they did you the politeness of saying we ain't taking no orders.
Right?
But I've been there, like I said before, where they just like, nope. E-Dating Tings is the email we got at theblackouttips@gmail.com. This is from Raphael. It says, howdy Rod and Karen and the amazing awesomeness of podcasting. As a retired serial dater who was all about the apps, you were right about us men being terrible with our selfies. It was after I moved to NY and decided to join Tinder that I started suffering from having one too many frowning selfies. Of course, I blamed the women. Didn't help that I was hanging with a fellow woman basher back then. Yeah, birds of a feather. That's how they do it, man. Start influencing your brain. One day I was chilling with my homegirls who happened to be lesbians, and they might have been tired of me whining about not being able to get a date. They looked at my Tinder profile and they shake their heads. They deleted the photos and wording, typed a brand new profile, picked better photos. 1 year later, after a few dates with a couple of ladies, one of whom is a good friend, I met my partner and the mother of our daughter.
Aww.
It's been 4 years now, and I'm sure that the dating apps have changed, because the other day this young cat was whining just like I used to 6 years ago, but when he decided described the platform, it sounded like he was speaking Gaelic. All I know is that if I didn't get help, I probably would still be on Tinder looking like I was pissed at the world. Men need help. Yo, I'm surprised it's not like a, well, you know what? No, I'm not surprised. I was gonna say, I'm surprised it's not like a service to help people with their dating apps
men
online.
Pay for it, but yes.
Probably is a service. Probably only women use it.
Correct.
So, but yeah, man.
Because men think they don't need no help.
Yeah, niggas do not selfies.
Mm-mm. They're like, my dick is the answer. Okay, but right. It's more to you than your dick. I hope you realize that.
That's why they be sending dick pics and shit, because it's like, maybe she'll just go for this.
Right, fuck my face, here's right. A dick.
I don't know, you know, this is my penis. It's like, oh, okay, well, now I gotta fuck you, you know. On coronavirus, Africa's cases have been increasing. Unfortunately, the exciting thing is that the first countries to report an incident, such as Egypt, Algeria, Nigeria, South Africa, all had cases as a result of Italians visiting. Yes, mm-hmm. Egypt had one when there was a German or something.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them be like, you know, we shutting shit down too.
The other countries that they are? Oh, I didn't even know that. The other countries that reported or confirmed cases, such as Senegal, Cameroon, Kenya, were all affected by a French citizen. All European men, Zanzibar's Minister of Information was on BBC's Focus of Africa, talking about an Italian who, after chilling in the country, returned back to Italy before checking in to be tested. And he is now confirmed to have the virus. So by the minister's words, the Italian had it before coming to Zanzibar. And he was refusing to cooperate with Zanzibar by providing info on where he has been and who he's been in contact with, so they can track and prevent a spread. All in all, I just thought it was interesting to see how the narrative is working out, that it's Europeans bringing the disease to Africa. History repeating itself? Because I already could picture the narrative had it been Africans bringing the coronavirus. Oh, nigga. They didn't even want black and brown people just being in some of these European countries. You know, a lot of the return of this, like, nationalism is directly about the fact that brown people have moved into some of these places. You know, the anti-Muslim sentiment in France being a great example.
Yeah, and also the funny thing about France is that they kicked out a lot of brown nurses, like, you know, and Arab nurses, like, got rid, you know, it's like, no, you can't work, and ran a lot of them out. Now they have this epidemic, and they want them to come back, and a lot of them like, the fuck I'm coming back for?
I saw a retweet from Randolph that touched on another important reason why Joe Biden has a high rating among black people. I was listening and typing during return of Uncle Joe talk, so I didn't think that I should hit the topic again. Rod and Karen, keep up the awesomeness. Forgive us in New York, and whenever you guys visit, let me take you to Nigerian or Ghanaian food. Got to like it spicy, though. Love you all. Best in the world, Raphael. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, I hope we didn't go too far, man. I'm not trying to make people from New York feel bad. It's just more like if it don't apply, hopefully y'all can let it fly, because if, you know, I don't find that the majority of New Yorkers do that, you know.
Most don't.
So, you know, I know people, it's different for me in general, but I know people get attached to where they're from in a way that can be illogical to me.
Yeah, like I always have to represent,
you know. Like I don't feel like if somebody were to say, look, North Carolina is shitty and y'all have terrible policies and all that, like a perfect example during the bathroom ban shit that Pat McCrory tried to pull, it sucked because it wasn't something that happened because we voted on it.
We did not vote.
It wasn't something the majority of the people voting even agree with. And he did lose his reelection bid. But when people would say North Carolina is a bigoted state for about, you know, 8 months to a year, I wasn't about to be like, I'm from North Carolina, and let me tell you, I'm not a bigot. I was like, no, that's accurate.
That sounds about right, yes.
Them is facts, okay? Like, that's some shit we did, and that, you know, like, even if I'm not a part of it, even if I'm fighting against it, I would be gaslighting you to tell you that's not a thing, you know? Crystal Wright said, hello, Rod and Karen. The story of the pregnant woman in the Facebook group keeps resounding in my head, and your commentary was 100. I'm in a few different Facebook groups, and some of the topics and responses made me think of that case. One mom, Ted, her son, said her son ingested something at kindergarten, and his face looked like Will Smith in Hitch. His eyes and lips were swollen shut. He had hives all over his neck, and she was talking about making an allergist appointment in 2 months. We begged her to take him to ER, but the one person who said, oh, just monitor, she was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What?
Like, we already have an answer we want, and we'll seek people who validate what we want them to say. Another was a pregnant immunocompromised woman going on a cruise, mad that her friends and family told her she should stay at home.
Yes!
This was a cruise group, so of course everyone is saying, oh, do you stay at home for the flu or cold? Those people are toxic. I would cut them off. I was shocked and appalled at the replies encouraging her to go, especially given how much we don't know about this virus. Yeah, groupthink, man. I'm beginning to think the message of, it's just like the flu, nothing to be worried about, oh, this is just media hysteria, is from our administration because they don't know how to deal with this.
Correct. Roger brought this up, and I'm as the days pass, it's more and more true. When you have an administration telling you it's okay, it's all right, act like normal, a lot of people are going to do that because they don't want to adapt and they don't want to change, and they don't want to take it seriously, and it's a trickle down thing.
Yeah, I was telling Justin this on the pregame. Oh wait, you was there too. Yeah, on the pregame we was talking, and I was like, the president is responsible for a lot of the fact that people aren't responding in the way, like seeing what these other countries are doing, and people, and you know, and you know I know people don't want to admit that because they're like, I hate the president, I don't believe a word out of his mouth, right everyone kind of feels that way that we fuck with. But let's think about it. When he declared emergency is exactly when these fucking stores start having lines out the door. People buying pallets of tissue paper, all the sanitizer in the fucking country sold out, because he was the one to finally address it. People take their cue from that office, which is why it is important to put someone in that office that is at least competent. That's why it's important. It doesn't matter how you fucking feel in your Facebook feed or Twitter feed or how snarky, none of that shit. When we need an adult in the room, that's the position people look to. You know, it shouldn't be that way, but it is that way. So we can either address the shit like it is that way, or we can talk about what the theory of what it could be. The truth of the matter is, people take a cue from that motherfucker. So until he was willing to say, okay, it's kind of serious, a lot of people, companies just sending people to work. You know, how many of y'all, you know, companies sending people to work? How many? I went to a basketball game. You know, like, this is, like, it's real. It takes him saying something made people be like, uh-oh. And unfortunately for him, I mean, for us, him saying something came after corporations had to say something.
Right.
So it has to take, like, the NBA saying, we're shutting down, for the president to be like, oh, yeah, so I guess this isn't going away. you know. And if you look at how he got through all his other bullshit and with through crises and shit, it's always about numbers and stuff. He lied and said the death toll in Puerto Rico wasn't what it was. You know, this is what he does, and this is his game plan. I'm gonna say what I have to do to keep a strong economy, because he knows as an incumbent president, the economy is his main focus, and having that number turn out for him, incumbents have more people turn out to vote for them typically. You know? So the only thing that could scare the people that fuck with him is the economy. So he thought he would just lie about the numbers, no get tested, don't give test kits. That way we can be like, man, we don't know what the number is, guys. So hey, it's probably very low. It's just like the flu. And then because the panic happened and other countries started getting these thousands, thousands, that's when he had to let it go. And when he let it go, all of a sudden, you see people reacting. And now motherfuckers is out here on some, you know, Mad Max shit with the sanitizer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not every job figuring if they can y'all niggas work from home.
Yeah. So, and it's not just that they don't know how to deal with this. They fired the people who knew how to deal with this.
Right. All that experience.
They disbanded the committees that knew how to deal with this. This is what they do. You know, Four Dissidents, the book by Howard Bryant, really goes into how this administration is so anti-regulation.
Yes.
That they have been putting us on the front line of a catastrophe waiting to happen. And what people take for granted, and only because it came in the form of blackness, is they figure if a nigger like Obama could run this country for 8 years, being obviously of inferior stock because he's black, he's half black, then anyone can do that job. So let's put the least qualified, most uneducated, most lascivious, most malicious person in charge. As long as he's a white man, he'll be able to do it because it's an easy job. If that nigger could do it, anyone can do it. And what you're seeing is that Obama was an excellent president. I said this shit the day, I want to say it was the episode after Donald Trump won the election, and it may have been a little bit after that, but it was really soon. I said, by electing Trump, you have now cemented Obama as the flawless president. If you think the progressive people that hate Obama were having a hard time before Trump with getting us to be like, well, Obama wasn't perfect, there's some things he needed to do, now it's impossible.
Right. And people gonna look at you like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face.
People would kill to go back to Obama.
Right. I would vote for his ass again in a second.
Like, this is like, it's like, yeah, it's literally impossible to Trump tested negative for coronavirus. And Ben Carson coughs and touches his face. God damn it. Son of a, this nigga.
And you know what? I can't even say if I believe it or not, because he lies about fucking everything. He might have tested positive and they would just say no just so you won't call. Cause
you can't believe panic. Anything. Yeah, but what did I tell? We talked about this in regular life, right? Not on the show. Mm-mm. Yeah, Karen was saying like, yeah, you know, they need to test him. And I said, Karen, he lies so much, you're not going to believe the results of the test. And she was like, it was either Karen or Bossy. Sometimes I get it confused. I talk to both of y'all a lot. But I was like, yeah, that because he lies about so much, it doesn't matter. He need to get a test. I said, are you going to believe him? Right? Because he had his doctor come out and say he don't need to take a test. Right? He says he don't got it, so he ain't getting tested. Then he goes, I'm getting tested. Then the results come out, it's negative. The hypothetical I propose is, Karen, what if it comes out and it's positive? You'll believe it because you don't like him, right? He definitely got it. I knew he had it. But then what's he going to do? Get online and be like, I don't got it. Right? Because he lies. That's what he do. And the people that fuck with him that love white supremacy that much will be like, fake news. Y'all go lying on Trump again. Y'all just trying to get him out of office. Like, yeah, it's fucked up. Crystal goes on. So they want us to not ask questions and brush it off like it's fake news. I understand we shouldn't panic, but the level of indifference is astounding to me. Just some thoughts of the day. Yeah. And people are going to panic specifically because of the mishandling of the situation.
Right.
you know, and because we've been in a constant state of panic, this is a fucking perfect storm, right? What is happening right now, a catastrophe on the watch of an arsonist. Like, this is the perfect storm for panic. Like, even I don't want to, you know, I've been doing like a little bit more staying offline. I've been watching TV, binging things, shows, reading, because I know being online aids the panic feeling, because people keep sharing every negative story, every person with a check mark that has a hypothesis that, you know, 300 million people will be infected and shit, everyone keeps sharing it. But we're literally living through something that's almost unprecedented, and in a time where technology has connected us in a way where we can do something about it in a way that we never had before, but we can also see what isn't being done in a way we haven't before. So I think we're just in a very high stakes situation and everyone's at their limits.
Correct. And in my personal opinion, it's been like this ever since he got elected. It has been a fucking catastrophe and a shit show and a shit storm ever since he's been elected. It's always been something swirling around him. Every time you turn around, something happened. He's had the most of people associated with him that have been in the White House office and that around him that are crooks and criminals and thieves, and a lot of them have been to jail, pled guilty, on probation or whatever it is. And so this is just another thing on top of that to me.
Yeah, and he lies so much that does it even really matter?
Right, because I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's not like any of us are sitting around like, you know what? This is the time where I think he's telling the truth. Like, we're all like, this nigga be lying, so who fucking knows? That's the point of him lying. He's like a nigga that cheats all the time. He just, if a nigga is cheating on you, they lie about everything. I'm going to the store. I was at work. I went to get the paper.
I had overtime.
Yeah, they gaslight you. The heat is on. I see, you know, the AC is on cold. Oh, you just tripping. It's not cold in here. Like, they just consistently want you to doubt yourself so that they can tell you any fucking thing. You either get exhausted and you give up and just go do whatever you gonna do. It don't matter. Or you become fucking part of the lie and go, oh yeah, my baby wouldn't lie to me. Fuck y'all. So, let's see. Burning question. Monique says, hi Karen and Rod, I just have a simple question. Why the fuck isn't Trump himself quarantined? He's been in the presence of more than 10 people that have either tested positive or have been in contact with the Brazilian delegation that tested positive. This is beyond words. Peace and love to y'all during this time. Kim Dot. I feel like that's a rhetorical question. Like, he and not quarantined because he don't want to be quarantined.
Right.
Let's see. John writes in, Rod, your political analysis has been so great over the past couple weeks. Hell, you and JL Covan called it when you joked that Biden was the only candidate that could out white man Trump last year. Yep. One thing I wanted to add from the world of mostly white dim progressives, there's been a ton of organizing on the left since 2016 election, and groups like Indivisible and Swing Left have been putting lots of time and energy into voter registration and getting out the vote letters and postcards to voters in red and purple states. We saw the results with the record turnout in 2018 blue wave election, and it looks like that momentum is continuing, fingers crossed. But a lot of white progressives, especially Bernie supporters, looked at that and thought it was an enthusiasm for Bernie or Medicare for All / Green New Deal, etc. I think Bernie's campaign made the same mistake of misreading the political tea leaves. Yeah, I read an article about this last week. I just didn't read it on the show. I can't remember if I saved it for the show, so we may talk about it next week. I don't know.
Okay,
but it makes perfect sense, you know. And because I'm not in that Bernie hive, I may not have been clued in enough to really be like, oh, you guys totally don't know what you're talking about. But they associate the enthusiastic turnout of 2018 with this, like, yeah, Bernie did that, look how turnout is up. And they just failed to recognize the numbers, and that it's not that. It's people don't like Trump.
Correct.
And it's not even Biden, for the record. So Biden's gonna take some credit for this he doesn't deserve, by the way. He's gonna be out here like, look at the turnout numbers, people that support Biden, look at the turnout numbers, and mostly people that hate Bernie, look at the turnout numbers, Bernie drop out, we don't want you to get out of the debates, you're wasting time, right? That's what they're gonna say. Mm-hmm. I made a joke about that on Twitter, but I don't believe that. I think he should stay in if he feels like staying in,
and push Biden to the left.
Yeah, this is the time to do what you did with Hillary. Push him to the left.
Do what you did with Hillary.
Maybe he'll adopt some of your platforms. I think the smartest thing Biden could do is to be like, you know what, Bernie, you convinced me of these ideas, and I'm gonna push some of my stuff to the left. Probably not all the way, duh. He's not gonna run on Bernie's complete campaign, but if you guys have looked at Biden's policies on his website, I mean, he's more left than y'all give him credit for. You know, $15 minimum wage is his shit on his website now. Like, he does want a form of universal health care, but he wants to allow people to keep their insurance as well. You know, like, it's not the thing that people are saying where it's like he's a Republican and in hiding and stuff, but you know, the thing is, the Bernie people hate everyone who's not Bernie, but I just think for the sake of the country, Biden should be listening to ideas that will push him to the left, and I do believe he's capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, in 2008 he was attached to the Obama ticket because he was more to the right of Obama. Now look at him. You know, he's come a long way in just, you know, 12 years or whatever. So I hope his VP pick is someone progressive like that.
Agreed.
You know, I can't decide if I would rather him have Elizabeth Warren or go with a black woman there, you know, to be honest. And of the black women, I know people, I can't remember Val's last name, but they're floating her. Obviously Kamala Harris, they're floating, and Stacey Abrams, they're floating. I like Stacey the most of those people, but at the same time, if I'm being fair, I'm not 100% sure of Stacey's like platforms. I know she wanted to do stuff about student debt and stuff like that, but you know, I'd be lying to say I knew Stacey Abrams' foreign policy or certain things I don't know about Stacey. You know, I just know she's getting people out to vote. So yeah, we'll see what happens with this if he continues to win. You know, and there is still a chance Bernie could win. It's just not a high chance. But I mean, you never fucking know. Biden gets up there and says,
"That's why you play the game."
Get up there and say the N word tonight. Hey, maybe, you know, we talking about something different on Monday. You know,
come on.
I mean? On Sunday night, he's just out there like, you know, back in my day, I used to tell niggers, and then we'd be like, "Oh shit, Bernie just won," right? So it could happen. anyway. On the topic of Trump, Obama, and coronavirus, here's an article that explains Obama actually created a multi-agency organization to study and fight exactly these sorts of animal to human viruses after the SARS and Ebola outbreak. So of course Trump cut his funding and dismantled it, a move that will make the death toll and economic damage of coronavirus that much worse because of his racist pettiness. Ugh. Yet, you know what else I was thinking about? This, y'all remember in 2007 when Obama was running, in 2008, and he wanted to do the Obamacare, and Republicans were against it, and one of the lies they told was it'll have death panels, it will sentence the elderly and infirm to death, they will be a panel of people who look at you and go, we will decide if you get health care or not. Do y'all realize with the coronavirus and its penchant for hitting people with pre-existing conditions and hitting people that are elderly, older, they literally have exhausted the capacity of certain countries' medical systems to where upon entry in the emergency room, doctors in Italy are having to make a decision on whether you live or die right away. And that could potentially be a result in America. So these people whose entire fear-based tactic was you won't get the healthcare if you're older and infirm, they are going to let that happen to America. And the weirdest part to me is that they had a bill that the House put through already and then it got denied, that said, well, we'll allow we will compensate companies for sick leave that they need to give employees who are sick, we will compensate the employees with the pay, and there were a couple other measures in there to help mitigate this, and Republicans voted it down. So with what you just said about them disbanding, you know, the pandemic council they had, and this, you know, voting down this bill, they literally are sentencing people to death.
Mm-hmm.
People with pre-existing conditions and of course older people. And keep in mind, pre-existing conditions, high blood pressure, hello, our community, diabetes, our community,
C-sections,
like cancer, like this shit is so real. And people keep talking about it's no big deal, it's like the flu. I'm like, who told you that? Donald Trump, right? So you going around saying the same shit Donald Trump said, right? You going to the club tonight because fuck it, right? That's why it's important to have a fucking president you can trust. Because if that was Obama giving that address, being like, guys, this shit is for real, stay your ass at home, everybody would be at home right the fuck now. But because it's Trump, it's like he always be lying, I'm going out and dancing. Well, I don't think I can get sick and die. Do you have high blood pressure? Because you might could, but let's say you don't. Will you want to pass that on to somebody that will get sick and die? Can you go visit your mama now? Can you go visit your family? You know, are you gonna be around grandmama anytime soon? Shit is fucking real, man. P.S. the new Hillary documentary on Hulu is great and really brings home a lot of the stuff you say about her misogyny. Cheers, John. And then he also write in a letter and say, hey Rod, whoops, just heard the pregame episode and realized you already discussed the Obama pandemic teams dismantling in an earlier episode. Feel free to skip that third paragraph. Cheers and be safe. You know what? I'm glad that we read it. I'm glad we said it on this because pregame's behind the paywall, so everybody doesn't get to hear those conversations.
Right.
So, all right, man. That was all the feedback. Thank you guys for listening. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. I mean, we ain't got shit else to do. We gonna be stuck in the house. Ain't no sports.
Ain't nobody sports.
You know, I'm just gonna be binging TV shows and, you know, we'll probably
my video game,
do some podcasting. I did ask people on my Facebook wall, like, you know, do people want more or less of a podcast?
Because
now you're not, a lot of people ain't at work, they're at home, they might be chilling playing video games and shit. And they was like, for the vast majority, now these are people that follow me on social media, so there's a, you know, they're biased, but
right.
There was the vast majority is like, nigga, more, we want the, please, because I was gonna
have
just
nothing else to do.
I was like, maybe we should take the week off if motherfuckers gonna be at home without shit to do, like, you know, like they probably just sitting at home being like watching TV playing video games. And everybody was like, no, I'm gonna need these podcasts, I don't want to kill my children, okay? So we'll be back, guys.
We'll be back,
do some more podcasting tomorrow, man. Thank you guys for listening and we appreciate y'all, and until next time, wash your hands, don't touch your face. I love you
too. Mwah.